The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
Well, one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Tuesday, March 22nd, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. And let me open up this show with the best news that I have heard all month long, and that is... Seattle Hempfest is on, people! Seattle Hempfest is on! They won their permit, their suit against the city. Seattle Hempfest will be taking place. And again, not just 2 days, but 3 days. That's right, August 19th, 20th, and 21st, Seattle Hempfest will be on, and we will be there bringing live coverage from Normal Show Live, along with myself, and of course, our engineer, Ganja John.
Those are late claps, studio audience.
Yeah, our studio audience is a little bit high, I think.
Yeah.
That could be it. How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Russ?
I'm doing fabulous, and we're looking forward to more great comedy shows at Helium Comedy PDX. I know somebody's coming soon that you wanted to see.
Joe Rogan's coming
soon.
That'll be right before I leave for the High Times Cup, so it'll be... Joe Rogan, Cypress Hill concert the next night. I'm getting confused. I'm going to Denver so many times this month.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Don't know what the hell we're doing. Yeah. So we're hoping to get in with Joe Rogan and maybe get him on the show. He's a big supporter of the marijuana movement. Of course, you know him from, news radio, other shows that he did, and
Fear Factor,
of course, and, also the UFC. He's UFC wired. He's very much into the mixed martial arts, which, I think is really cool,
too. Yeah, we'll hopefully get a picture of him putting me in a headlock.
That'll be fun. All right. Also joining us from our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, is the lovely Cannabis Carrie.
That is great news for Seattle Hemp Fest.
Oh, yeah. We are so excited about that. It's the world's largest hemp rally, protest, marijuana event, whatever you want to call it. 1.6 miles of Myrtle Edwards Park, taken over by about 200,000 of your closest friends. So if you've never been, you got to go. It's like Mecca. You got to make the trip, the pilgrimage, at least once in your life. Coming up on today's show, we got Electric Tuesday. So Cannabis Cure UK is going to be bringing us some of that great electronica music. And then at half past the hour, we're going to reach out to New Jersey and speak with Chris Goldstein, the founder of this podcast, also working hard with Normal New Jersey and Coalition for Medical Marijuana New Jersey. He's got some updates on what's happening out there in the No Garden State. And then hopefully at 45 past, we'll get a chance to speak with Dan Vietz, the coordinator of Missouri Normal, and get his thoughts on this recent weekend conference that we had, the Missouri Normal State Conference. Before we get to all of that, though, we got our hemp headlines with Cannabis Carrie. What's in the news today, Carrie?
Well, today we've got some news coming from California about the feds cracking down there in a particular way. Also, we're going to have some fallout from that verdict in Spokane with the dispensary owner being convicted. And if we have time, I'm going to also cover some New Jersey stories, so you'll know what we're talking about when we get to Chris's story.
All right. Sounds great, Carrie, and looking forward to that right after this break. Make sure you visit our sponsors and check out this channel all day long. The Normal Network is up and running. Coming up after this hour, you'll get Toker Talk Radio, followed by the Drug Truth Network and the excellent Cannabob Viper Hour with Reefer Jazz for an hour. Stay tuned. It's Normal Show Live.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. Music.
Normal National Conference 2011, Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd.
I'm not a crook.
When President Nixon declared war on marijuana smokers, Normal was founded by a young lawyer named Keith Strupp. And now, in our 40th year, Normal is coming of age as states begin discussing outright marijuana legalization.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Join us in Denver, Colorado, the day after 420 for our 40th annual National Conference. You'll learn about marijuana law, cannabis science, and the grassroots activism necessary to end prohibition. Set in the Mile High City, America's cannabis capital. Special guests include medical marijuana pioneer and Harvard Emeritus Dr. Lester Grinspoon, U.S. Congressman Jared Polis, and Normal founder Keith Strupp. Normal National Conference 2011, coming of age in Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd. It's the true Rocky Mountain High.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
There has been some movement in the progress of the long-awaited New Jersey medical marijuana program. On Monday, the state health department announced that six dispensaries have been chosen from over 35 applications to run the treatment centers that could sell up to three strains of less than 10% THC medical-grade marijuana. They anticipate that the first medical marijuana from a New Jersey treatment center could be go out the door by late summer. One sticking point, though, home delivery will not be allowed. The six all have strong financial backing and have secured preliminary approvals for their locations from local zoning boards and town governments. They also were required to turn in training manuals for prospective employees, show security plans, and show a three-year extensive business plan. One of the winners with a successful application is the Compassionate Care Center of America Foundation, a group that showed it expected to spend about $4.5 million a year just to operate the facility. All six of the successful applicants happen to be in the populous corridor between New York City and Philadelphia areas, another reason why the groups fought so hard for home delivery services for patients living away from that area. State Senator Nicholas Scutari, a Democrat from Linden that sponsored the original legislation to allow medical marijuana in New Jersey, has called for lawmakers to nullify the proposed regulations from Governor Chris Christie's administration. Scutari believes the regulations don't meet the intent of the legislature when it voted 14 months ago to allow medical marijuana. He said on Monday that he wants to negotiate changes to the regulation with Christie's administration. The announcement of who will run the six alternative treatment centers is a big step forward in the tortured process of implementing a law Governor Chris Christie has said he doesn't like, although he says he does support allowing medical marijuana. Christie has been locked in a battle with the Democrat-led legislature on how the program should run, with lawmakers close to repealing the rules and making him start over. Senate sponsors said they would rather delay the program's summer launch than allow what they describe as overly restrictive regulations to hinder patient access. But advocates say they have waited long enough, and changes in the regulations must be fought for at the same time as allowing dispensaries to begin servicing the very sick patients who would qualify for the program. We'll get more information later on in the program from Chris.
All right. Thanks for that update, Carrie. And yeah, these people who have won the contract to be able to be one of these dispensaries dispensing less than 10% THC cannabis limited to three strains, Isn't that kind of like, you know, winning the lottery and being given the title to a used car lot that only sells Festivas, Pintos, and Edsels? I mean, congratulations that you won the contract, but man, we got to do something about these regulations, because otherwise you just won a contract to a business that is not going to go anywhere. Patients need the medicine in medical marijuana, and by forcing them to have three strains and less than 10% THC, you're forcing them to make one of two choices. Either buy more cannabis than is necessary at street prices at these dispensaries and smoke more of it than is necessary, leading to more lung damage or possible harms there if they're choosing to smoke, or go and get the medical grade marijuana that they need that will still be available out on the unregulated market, out on the streets, that they don't know, you know, how it's been grown, how it's been treated, whether it's got pesticides, molds, you know, whatever. This is just ridiculous. If you want medical marijuana to work, you have to allow these dispensaries to produce the product that the patients will want and need. The multiple strains is very important. There are so many different strains of cannabis, and it's the combination of all the cannabinoids and terpenes and flavonoids that will make the difference. It'll make one strain good for migraines, but another one good for spasticity, one good for seizures, another one good for nausea. To only have three choices would be like limiting our choices of pain relievers to morphine, OxyContin, and Excedrin. There needs to be more choices than that, and since there are, why limit them? What is the purpose of limiting it to three strains? I see what he's trying to do with the 10% THC. I understand that, you know, don't want to have to be too potent. I don't agree with it. But limiting to three strains doesn't make any sense, even from his point of view. Unless you're just trying to throw up roadblocks to prevent medical marijuana from happening in the first place, which of course is what Governor Christie is doing.
We reported yesterday on the conviction of Scott Shoup, who co-owned one of Washington State's first medical marijuana dispensaries. He was convicted by a jury of multiple trafficking laws, all pertaining to medical marijuana sales. He was arguing that the state allowed such sales because the interpretation of the law said he could be a caregiver to one patient at a time just during the actual sales transaction. Other dispensaries in Spokane, the city where Shoup was convicted, have been watching the trial closely, and last night, dispensary owners swarmed Spokane City Hall to ask local leaders at a council meeting to push for clarification of Washington state law. There is an estimated 50 dispensaries in Spokane County operating in a legal gray area. Most are licensed with the city, with the state, and they all run as nonprofits. They usually have a business license, a nursery license, and a reseller's permit. Ryan Seely, the director of one such dispensary in Spokane County, told the council that he closed his doors last Thursday, the day of Shoup's conviction, temporarily, so he could work out the best way to protect himself and his clients. He said that all weekend long, his phone has been ringing nonstop from patients asking him what they are supposed to do. The packed city council meeting allowed about a dozen speakers to address the council, every one of them asking for the council's support. They said that in Seattle or King County that local lawmakers have stepped up their support for the industry and have shown compassion and care for the state's patient population, and they want that kind of support in Spokane County. Other dispensary entrepreneurs have put their plans temporarily on hold as they wait for the state to clarify the laws. The Spokane City Council listened as speakers shared their concerns, but did remind the public that they don't have the power to change state law. A bill in Washington State is currently being considered that would improve protections for both patients and suppliers, but as with many comprehensive medical marijuana bills, compromises in the bill's language have already led many advocates to say that it will not be enough protection.
Well, you know, this Washington State thing, you know, you hear this story and they say, all these people showed up at the meeting to get the Spokane Council to clarify the state's stand on dispensaries. And yet these same people say, well, the reason we're able to do business is because we're acting as a caregiver one at a time, because we can be a caregiver for any one patient at any one time. So when they show up from 12:30 to 12:31, I'm their caregiver. And from 12:31 to 12:32, I'm their caregiver. So which is it? Are you dispensaries or are you caregivers? Because you're saying you're going to the city council to clarify what the rule is on dispensaries. Sounds like to me you think you're a dispensary. And that sounds to me what the jury thought in the Shoup case too, is that you are a dispensary. And the Washington state law does not mandate any sort of regulations for dispensaries. Now, they've got the bill in the Washington legislature right now that would actually create dispensaries, would mandate them, would regulate them. And yet I hear some of these same people coming back and saying, oh, this is bad. It's a registry. They're going to put you on a list. I don't want to be on a list. Look, you got a Social Security card, you're on a list. All right. Everybody is on a list. And if you're getting yourself on a list that prevents you from being arrested, that's the kind of list you want to be on. Okay. You want to be on the list that keeps you out of jail. That's a good thing. Until we can move forward and completely legalize for all healthy people, medical marijuana is going to have to accept the fact that in order to separate the patients from the criminals, quotes, patients from the criminals here, there's going to have to be regulations that define who's who. And that involves lists, that involves registrations, that involves patient limits, that involves plant limits, that involves patient conditions. Work with me to legalize it for everyone, and you can forget all about these problems.
The federal government has recently ordered banks in California to spy on the transactions of customers who are suspected of making money in the medical marijuana business. Reported by Clarence Walker at Alternet, federal officials have asked banks to look out for suspicious activity, another move that makes it even more difficult for medical marijuana dispensaries to conduct business. DEA and the FBI say they are not specifically targeting medical marijuana, but they are looking for drug traffickers and money launderers. Even though dispensaries might be legal under state law, since marijuana is still illegal under federal law and still considered a Schedule I substance, any business done by a legitimate state medical marijuana company could be subjected to trafficking laws. So far, banks have not been asked to not do business with dispensaries, but many of them are often opting just to shut down accounts instead of enduring the hassles of investigating and reporting all of the transactions to federal authorities. The enforcement action is reportedly being focused on Northern California, mainly Humboldt, Mendocino, and Trinity County, areas known for growing much of California's marijuana supply, legal and illegal. The policy was brought to the public's attention last month when the largest bank in Mendocino County told their shareholders that federal banking regulators would now require Northern California banks to scrutinize deposit accounts, since the area had been designated a high-risk area for money laundering, particularly for marijuana businesses. Charles Mannon, the CEO of Ukiah Bank, said that the area in general has been targeted by Washington because of the amount of cash that comes from a place where the average wages are so low. Many banks say they are required under the Bank Secrecy Act to report on businesses involved in the state-authorized medical marijuana industry. Exchange Bank took preemptive actions last year when they began banning medical marijuana businesses from opening accounts due to the time-consuming scrutiny they have to undergo when handling such accounts. Bill Schrader, the president of Exchange Bank, said that if any activities are suspicious under federal law, they are required to report it. The feds require banks and credit unions to file a report with the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, which operates a huge database that is available to both the DEA and the FBI if any employee or anti-laundering software detects suspicious activity. The problem has been ongoing with medical marijuana businesses nationwide, as organizations have been unable to make daily deposits, process credit cards, or have access to regular banking services that average businesses have access to. It has been reported that the banking issue has hampered the expansion of medical cannabis dispensaries and other related businesses in California, Colorado, Michigan, and other states where medical marijuana is legal under state law. The issue prompted Representative Barney Frank, a Democrat from Massachusetts, and Representative Jared Polis, a Democrat from Colorado, to write a letter to Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner to request formal written guidelines for banks to assure them that they would not be federally prosecuted for conducting businesses with dispensaries, saying that the current system of legitimate state-run businesses being denied access to banking services does not serve the public interest. Geithner has yet to respond. Most medical marijuana businesses have had to turn to financial providers that serve high-risk clients of very expensive services, and some businesses in Colorado have turned to overseas merchants in an attempt to bypass legal conflicts.
Well, let me make a prediction here. I predict that within a few months, there won't be any banks in the Emerald Triangle. They're going to have to close up. The entire damn economy up there runs on the marijuana trade. And what exactly is this suspicious activity? The depositing of cash? The depositing of cash that maybe smells good? What is it? I mean, we already have a requirement that if anyone deposits $10,000 in cash or more, makes a $10,000 transaction or more, That has to be reported to the banking authorities. We already have laws here, but to make this more intrusive on the medical marijuana industries, again, it just illustrates what the latest federal strategy is. Between this and the IRS audits of the largest dispensaries, it's clear they know they can't convince people to give up the marijuana. They can't convince them that the medical marijuana is a ruse anymore. So their last resort here is to go after the money, to use the federal banks and the federal financial resources to go after the money and make it just unprofitable and impossible for these medical marijuana industries to get a leg up. It's really about power. We see it in Montana. We see it in Colorado. They're worried about these industries becoming a player, having some money, hiring some lobbyists, getting some votes, and actually changing something.
Well, Russ, I think it's time for a break.
It's a good time for a break. And again, for those of you who joined us late, Seattle Hemp Fest is on August 19th through 21st. Check out hempfest.org.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
West Vienna, Malgo, broke down barrier. Herb is medicine to broke down barrier. Boost the economy and broke down barrier. It's helping other states, broke down barrier. Cannabis for legalized to broke down barrier. Join and speak your voice, broke down barrier. We gonna change the law, broke down barrier. We got to educate, broke down barrier. Yeah, this is Nayora, you know, bigging up USVI normal. Working to legalize cannabis, you know, for the whole of the Virgin Islands.
USVI Normal is a nonprofit organization working to legalize cannabis for the use by the industries and responsible adults. Do your part. Join USVI Normal. Register to vote. Pass the word. Voice your opinion. You can change the law. Contact us for more information at 340-244-9179. You can also visit our website at www.usvinorml.org.
Normal Show Live reminds. It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you Tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electronic music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and electronica, brought to you by Greg in Surrey, Sussex, England, and Cannabis Cure UK. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Hey there, this is Cannabis Cure. You're listening to Electric Tuesday on Normal Show Live. Today's tune is an electronic track. Definitely isn't shy about speaking its mind. The artist is Katie, who studies political science at university, makes great and varied use of a range of digital sounds that add an extra dimension to the airwaves. Her manipulation of the samples make for great listening. I'm ready to light this one up straight away, so here's Smoke by Katie. Enjoy. Peace out.
I smoke. don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm gonna get you high today. Cause it's Friday. You ain't got no job. And you ain't got shit to do.
I smoke cannabis.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
High in the Rockies. For the first time ever, High Times is hosting the Medical Cannabis Cup in the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. There'll be cultivation seminars with High Times editors Danny Danko and Nico Escondido, plus other experts and cannabis celebrities. Attend activism seminars with leaders of the medical marijuana movement, including advice on how to start your own cannabis business. Meet industry leaders in medical cultivation, hydroponics, smokable glassware, hemp products, dispensary supply, cannabis accessories, and more. Plus, Medical Cannabis Cups will be awarded to the best indica, sativas, concentrates, and edibles entered by legally operating medical marijuana dispensaries and growing collectives. And don't forget Saturday night when the Medical Cannabis Cup will host the extravaganza with surprise musical guests. The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup, April 2nd and 3rd, 2011 at Exto in Denver, Colorado. Visit medcancup.com for details. be part of the growing cannabis industry. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Denver.
Legalization.
Decriminalization.
Lowest law enforcement priority.
Medical marijuana.
Ganja sacrament.
Consumer cannabis.
Industrial hemp. The world of marijuana law reform involves many different aspects of cannabis that interact nearly every public policy discussion in America, including healthcare,
the economy,
global climate change,
law enforcement in prisons,
immigration,
religion,
free speech,
energy policy,
and war. Now, we take a look at how re-legalizing marijuana will change the world in our Normal Show Live Cannabis Conversations.
Welcome back, everyone. We're going all the way across the continent to the East Coast with Chris Goldstein, who is the founder of the Normal Daily Audio Stash podcast. He works a lot with Philly Normal. He works a lot with Normal New Jersey. He works with the Coalition for Medical Marijuana New Jersey. He's just founded Freedom is Green, and he will soon be another podcaster on the Normal Network. I did it all in one breath. Chris, how you doing?
Great, Russ. Great to be with you as always, and thank you so much.
Hey, no problem, man. And before we get into the New Jersey updates here, tell folks about Freedom is Green and what's going on there on the East Coast.
Yeah, we put together freedomisgreen.com to cover East Coast cannabis reform. Russ, as you know, and as you well report here on Normal Show Live, I mean, there's so much happening. Maine is considering legalization and a hemp farming bill. We have multiple bills in New Hampshire and Rhode Island. We have Massachusetts coming online for medical marijuana. New York's got a medical marijuana bill. So, boy, have we got a whole region of reform happening here. And so much I've learned as an activist, you know, working in New Jersey and in Philadelphia and in Pennsylvania, we can kind of get dug in on the locality of our issue. And today it's more important than ever with our social networking tools and the ability to reach across state lines, work together on reform, kind of bring this together a little bit and put some perspective on it. And honestly, well, I'll tell you, just like when I started up, Normal's Daily Audio Stash, folks were like, oh man, do you really think you can put together a 5-day-a-week show all about marijuana? Well, yeah, I mean, you could put a 5-day-a-week show 24 hours a day on and have a multiplicity of cable channels to cover just marijuana. And, you know, looking at the East Coast, just starting the site up, there is so much happening back here. You know, we covered the opening of the medical marijuana bill in Florida. Bobby Plashorn, great guy working on the Seniors Alliance and the Silver Tour, involved with that. So things are emerging every day, and it's really exciting stuff to cover. We have a great editorial staff, Jehan Mark, who is a scientist working on cannabinoid research. And boy, I'll tell you, right out of the gate, Jehan has really come up with some great articles and highlighted some great science happening out there in the world.
Yeah, and there is such a big need for this because a lot of what I find in the cannabis community as far as the events and the reporting, a lot of it's, of course, focused on California, Colorado, and kind of comes with a West Coast sensibility to it. You know, we're at this point where we're discussing whether or not there should be dispensaries and what the limits on plants should be, whereas on the East Coast, there's a whole different sensibility. There's a different law enforcement mindset where, you know, you're starting at a different point of view here, and that needs to be expressed, and we need to get these East Coast states together on making these changes, and I think that Freedom is Green can help do that.
Yeah, it's terribly important, too, because, these states are close together, and traditionally, especially in the Mid-Atlantic region, you'll see reform cross over state borders. You see a lot of political attitudes shared across states. A lot of issues are really important. And believe me, you know, what we're really seeing here, Russ, and I know you reported it here on the show, too, but, boy, this surge of polling, you know, up and down the East Coast from Florida to Maine, you know, all around the Mid-Atlantic, that 70-80% polling for marijuana reform legislation, medical marijuana decriminalization, legalization bill. This is the real surge that we're seeing on the East Coast now. And, you know, I'm hearing a big rumbling amongst politicians back here who are really waking up to the positive politics of this issue. And, you know, I think it's interesting, too, because in New Jersey, and I know we'll get to that, but, I mean, there's more of like a mainstream business interest in the medical marijuana industry here. And I think on the West Coast, you have the medical marijuana industry tends to be its own independent entity. And now here on the East Coast, you have like hospital groups and the more corporate interests, and they're getting a toehold in this right away.
And the website that people need to go to, this is just freedomisgreen.com, correct?
That's right, freedomisgreen.com, and we have six main categories up there. We are focusing on women's issues. We have a great editor named Beth Mann up at Freedom is Green, And she's got the Mary Jane category, and this is to, you know, women's voices and reform, highlights a lot what's going on with the Normal Women's Alliance. And Diane Fornbacher, a great friend of Normal, somebody who helps us out with the Normal Women's Alliance a lot.
Yes.
And does great work here in New Jersey locally. She's doing our grassroots category. So, you know, I'm lucky. You know, Freedom is Green is it's a team of us here on the East Coast. You know, there was so much happening that we wanted to, you know, get it out. We're all doing our own blogging. So we sort of pulled this, pulled it all together into one site. And I'm really happy with it. You know, we're growing fast, and we've got a lot of content to put out there. But Freedom is Green is definitely, I feel like we're doing a pretty good job right out of the gate.
Excellent. Well, we're looking forward to the podcast from Freedom is Green. In fact, we're saving you the Friday at 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern slot. It's yours as soon as you're ready. Not to put you on the spot or nothing.
All right.
That means I get the lead-in?
Yeah. No. He'd be the lead-in for you.
Oh, he's the lead-in for me, so I'm going to get all kinds of ears. Thanks, Chris.
Nice. You'll get all the East Coasters, man.
Yeah, exactly.
New York and Philly.
And that's perfect.
Absolutely.
Because Ganja John's show comes on Friday nights at 11 o'clock when that crowd needs some mollifying. So
yeah.
It'll be perfect. Let's shift gears here a little bit and talk about the politics that you're covering there. Of course, New Jersey, we reported today that the six ATCs, what they're calling dispensaries out there, the vendors have been chosen. Can you give us an update on that and tell us what you've heard?
Yeah, you know, it's sort of good news in some ways. I mean, here's the state. When we saw what happened with Rhode Island, they didn't license anybody, and they made them go back to the drawing board. You know, at least New Jersey licensed six facilities right out of the gate. So there's good news. On one hand, that is good news. On the other hand, they didn't really cover all the regions. I mean, they sort of left out the entire southern third of the state. There's nothing in Kootenai County. There's nothing in Atlantic County. And these folks, there's no home delivery service either, so these folks are facing like up to a 2-hour drive just to get their medication. And reminding here in New Jersey, there's no home delivery for the medical marijuana.
Right.
Patients can, at this time, the regulations would have them getting 2 ounces per month at less than 10% THC. And at this point, they themselves or one designated caregiver will have to drive and go get it from one of the six facilities.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they did license the facilities. The rules aren't final yet. So although these have been awarded permits, they probably can't start to even, you know, open their businesses and start to break ground, as it were, until May when the regulations, the earliest time the regulations could be finalized. Now, even some of the winners, one of the winning groups was helped out by Meadowlands Hospital Group, and they had some vocal lobbyists, and they kind of heaped praise on the commissioner, but I, you know, in real world terms, I'm going to go far here by saying this, but it's true. Even the ass kissers had problems with the 10% THC cap. Well, I mean, you know, even the permit winners and the and the folks who would keep praise on the state and the commissioner, they said they were going to have a hard time operating the business with 10% cap
right.
on their marijuana. So it remains to be seen what these regulations will be, and even if the six folks who were well-financed and came up with these plans approved by the state will be able to pull it off. New Jersey has only 14 conditions that qualify. They're requiring doctors, the first state in the country to require doctors to be part of a special registry, which is still something that we're fighting over. And, you know, reminding folks again, too, only 79 doctors have been approved for the medical marijuana registry for physicians thus far.
Man.
There are 30,000 physicians in New Jersey, Russ. 30,000. 79 have decided to register for the program, and many are saying that the requirements are just too rough, and you know, oncologists aren't pain management specialists. And honestly, they often I often recommend marijuana for their chemotherapy patients, and they don't have certifications in pain management or addiction control or any of that. So they're cut out of actually recommending medical marijuana at this point in New Jersey. New Jersey has essentially created a de facto marijuana specialist doctor. This
right.
is like the opposite of what they want to do. You know, when we first passed this law, they said, "Well, we don't want pot doctors out there. We just don't want that." Well.
Right.
There's 79 pot doctors who can, you know, dispense marijuana from six facilities. I'm not sure what else you would have come up with under this scheme.
Yeah.
So, good news and bad news. So, you know, they're moving ahead. They're trying their best. We hope that the regulations either change significantly or get invalidated and rewritten. Otherwise, I think it's going to be difficult to pull this off for anybody.
So as far as the awarding of the contracts to these six ATC, of these six ATCs, was there, I mean, are you saying that there was a whole lot of hospital industry lobbying to get, you know, favors for these, the particular people that won the contracts?
Well, you know, one of them, it's funny, you know, I'm not going to say who, but one of them called up CMM in jail a little while ago, a couple of months ago, and said, oh, you know, I got this locked in, and we were all like, yeah, right. Well, he got one of the contracts, and, you know, he claimed it was some of his political connections that mattered. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there were only 21 applicants, so it wasn't a real fierce field. However, they had to overcome a lot. New Jersey ran the most expensive application process ever seen for a medical marijuana cultivation and distribution application. It's $20,000.
Yeah.
You had to submit it in cash. You had to show that you had 3 years of capitalization for your plan. So you really had to come into it with, like, a lot of money, a lot of people, you know, some blessings from a local acute care hospital group and the blessings of the town where you wanted to go into. So it had to be a pretty well-thought plan, and it was expensive for these people to put it together. But in the end, again, I'm not sure if they're going to be able to pull it off. Even with all the capitalization, it's going to be difficult, Russ. I mean, there's a very limited patient population, and they're really cutting this close in New Jersey. They've made the law here so that they can get the least amount of marijuana to the fewest amount of people as possible.
And the marijuana they get will suck.
Yeah, right. You know, the Garden State is going to be known. And, you know, some of the people said that to me who didn't apply. I mean, like, even if we won, do we want to be known in the world as producing the 10% marijuana in New Jersey? I don't think so.
Yeah.
So it's a very difficult prospect for people. On the other hand, patients need marijuana, and there are patients who hold out because of the legality of marijuana overall, mm-hmm. and they will not access the underground market out of principle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's those people oftentimes that are also in the most need, and truthfully, the people who don't have families that can go into the underground market for them and have to rely on hospice nurses or other care professionals, these are the people that will benefit from any program. And it's true, Russ. I mean, I don't want to say that, you know, nothing is better than nothing, you know. I think that supplying cannabis to terminally ill patients and people who really need it is a priority. So I'd like to see some of these businesses be successful, mm-hmm. but I'm just not sure how. I think everybody just looked at the proposed regulations that they're really finalized this way. It really crushes any kind of business model for supplying medicine to patients.
Yeah. And you know, I hear also, you know, you mentioned the patients who out of principle won't go to the underground market, but I imagine there will also be many who do. One of our chatters even brought up the idea, you know, if I lived in New Jersey, I'd go buy one container of their lousy weed, and then all the rest of the weed I ever buy, I would keep in that container. And, you know, cops not.
Oh, boy, Russ. Here we get into the new world order that's getting kind of scary, though, and it's true. Like, the other thing about New Jersey is that only the facilities can only grow 3 strains of marijuana. So it's going to be theoretically possible for them to say, well, you say this is medical marijuana, we'll check that past your dispensary. And if it's not one of the genetically matched strains, you've broken the law.
They go all CSI on us.
That's not out of bounds here in what they're considering. That's the level of control that they want over medical marijuana in New Jersey.
Well, someone was asking in our chat as well, how are they going to monitor that 10%? I mean, what will they do to keep that in check?
Oh, boy. Well, your chatters hit on, you know, the tip of a big iceberg, I think, for the whole industry. You know, each of these facilities, I guess in theory, would have a gas chromatograph to start testing the THC potency within a blend of their marijuana. But the deputy health commissioner here in New Jersey, Susan Walsh, at a meeting of ATC operators, said, well, if the plants test more than 10%, you'll have to destroy them. That really, I mean, let's let that sink in. They're going to come in and test your plants, and if they're above 10% THC, they're going to have to be incinerated, I guess. Nobody's ever tried to do that. Even the federal program, essentially, they blend together all kinds of plants, and the blended marijuana, the crushed and blended marijuana, is then tested for an even potency of around, you know, 4 to 6% or whatever. But I think that's a better theory to run on. I think once the regulations be refined, the end product of the crushed blended marijuana is probably going to be below 10% THC. But if you read the regulations, it's not even THC. They say all cannabinoids.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what, you know, again, we're in the twilight zone here, Russ. It's not looking at science or fact or anything like that. These kinds of restrictions, the kinds of details or fighting over these details is something that we don't want to get caught in as advocates, because the truth is it's overall a wrong approach. They have violated the intent of what is a good law in trying to put these restrictions on them. And it's a much better place to consider these things much later after we've, you know, legalized marijuana and are working on it for a much more refined regulated market for a mass population.
Yeah. And, you know, I think one of the things that's most maddening about it to me, Chris, is if this were happening, if they were the first medical marijuana state and they were, you know, poking around in the dark like they are now, oh, I don't know what we should do, you know, might be able to, you know, grant them some slack, but not after 14 other states.
Well, that's the thing, Russ. They're saying that they don't want to be like anyone else. But see, again, that's the red hair, that's the shiny object that everybody's chasing after here. The truth is that they're hard fighting over what is medicine and not. Notice that the New Jersey medical marijuana program isn't called a medical marijuana program. It's called a medicinal marijuana program. They will not call marijuana a medicine. The commissioner of the Department of Health and Senior Services has a private practice. She's an MD. She's an internal medicine specialist. She claims that she has a patient who uses medical marijuana right now. She says that it's effective for him. At the same time, she will not say that marijuana is medicine because the evidence just isn't out there for her to consider. So, again, Russ, we're in the twilight zone here. I don't know any other way to put it. New Jersey has a unique sensibility. I'm sure that everybody sees it on the reality shows of the nation. Just try living here. It's even crazier than MTV, okay?
Are you saying we're getting snooky on medical marijuana? Is that what we're going to get?
No. Believe me. But I'll tell you, you know, when medical marijuana patients can't get to the governor and Governor Christie is tweeting back at, you know, MS patients and people who have wasting conditions, for God's sakes, but they can't get a meeting with the guy about the nuts and bolts of this. It is a strange world.
Yeah, and you know, from out here, it just looks like, you know, the governor didn't like that the previous governor signed a law, and so he's not going, if it's going to go in, by God, he's going to make it the worst possible law he can. It seems personal, and it seems vindictive.
It is that, but also you have a welcoming, you know, medical and pharmaceutical industry that see an opening to try and get a piece of the pie. Mm. The winning groups, some of them had the backing of smaller grade pharmaceutical manufacturers here in New Jersey. And again, Meadowlands Hospital Group was one of the winners up in North Jersey. So I think for the first time, I think that's what's different East versus West, Russ. Again, I think that on the East Coast, in Rhode Island, in New Jersey, what you're seeing is the mainstream medical industry really trying to get a toehold and gain some control over the local medical marijuana market, whereas in other states they've been left out. Mm-hmm. Here they're really trying to get a piece of the pie right at the beginning, so as the market grows, they control a significant portion of it. And I would say that out of the half of the centers, I'd say it's pretty much half and half. What you saw out of New Jersey out of the six centers was three kind of small business models and three corporate back ones.
Wow. Well, it's just, like you say, it's the twilight zone. It's through the looking glass. It's the bizarro world of medical marijuana, New Jersey, the no garden state. Chris Goldstein's holding it down and doing yeoman's work out there in one of the toughest places to be an activist. And check him out on all the websites, Philly Normal, Normal New Jersey, Coalition for Medical Marijuana New Jersey, and, of course, freedomisgreen.com. We'll see you here on the Normal Network as soon as you're ready. And, Chris, my friend, thank you for joining us.
Russ, thank you again, and hey to everybody there in Portland. Have a great day.
All right.
Want more than just your normal show live? Get your daily fix of marijuana news and interviews on the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the weekday podcast available on iTunes and at stash.normal.org.
Yes.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is a entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. At Normal, we've been prepping for this debate for 40 years.
You really want to legalize marijuana? Prove it. Join Normal today at NORML.org, and your donation will help us spread the growing truth about cannabis. Free speech ain't free, you know.
Free the ganja tree, it's the healing of the nation. Free the cali weed, good for meditation. Free the pot smokers, they're in a delight. Lighting up the chalice, they keep no malice.
Free the marijuana.
Come on, come on, come on, say.
Free the marijuana.
Himme, 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 say.
Free the marijuana.
Come on, come on, come on, say.
Free the marijuana.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Shirley, you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We were trying to reach Dan Vietz out there in Missouri, but he did tell me he had a court case today, and he wasn't sure he was going to be able to make it by 3:45 Central Time. So we'll get Dan Vietz back on the show again sometime this week to recount some of the Missouri Normal Conference. A great conference. I was so glad to be out there. For the Radical Rant segment here today, I just wanted to not rant so much as brag here about the Normal Network that we've just gotten started, and it's just taking off really, really quickly here and getting a lot of great reviews and support from people. And I just wanted to give you a chance to check it out. Up at our blog at stash.normal.org, you can see the new header, and the new header has all of the Normal Network channels on it. You can see when the live, or not live, but the new shows will be coming on here. I will bring that up on the camera here in just a second as soon as I can get all the little windows arranged to where they got to be. But I'll show you the Normal Network screen. Basically, what's going to happen is every day, you know, you get your new Normal Show Live here at 1 o'clock Pacific and a Toker Talk Radio at 2 o'clock Pacific. Then at 3 and 4 will be followed by replays of the new shows from the previous day. So if you missed them yesterday, you can catch those. Then 5 o'clock, the replay of Normal Show Live, 8 o'clock Eastern, followed by John Doe Radio at 6 o'clock. And then every night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, at 7 o'clock and at 8 o'clock, there will be a brand new podcast of two different shows. So, for example, on Mondays at 7, you'll catch the Drug Truth Network. And on Drug Truth Network, that's actually two shows, Cultural Baggage and Century of Lies. And they're produced by Dean Becker out of Houston, Texas. I've met Dean. We've been working together for years now. He's at all the Normal conferences and all the big events. And a better cannabis journalist you can't find out there. He's been doing the work. And he's been doing it for a long time before, you know, just about anybody else was on the air doing this. And you'll also hear him on numerous terrestrial stations. He's got a show out on public access stations and public broadcasting and so on, and a few commercial stations too. So it's Century of Lies and Cultural Baggage, and you can find out more about those by going to drugtruth.net, and that's where you'll be able to find the information on the Drug Truth Network. And here we go, just about get the screen up here. And we'll show you the header while I'm talking. There we go, the Normal Network. And there's our Monday through Friday lineup that you can check up. There we go. So Monday, the Cultural Baggage, 7 o'clock p.m., and then replayed again at 11 o'clock p.m. Pacific time, in case you're one of the late-night listeners. Then on 8 o'clock on Monday, oh, my God, we debuted it last night, John, and I already was like, my expectations were high because it was coming from Cannabob, and I've seen the work he did for our intro, and I know his love of Cab Calloway and all the Reefer Jazz stuff. So when he said he was doing a show called The Viper Hour, my first thought was, okay, this is going to be cool DJ kind of, you know, listening to music from the old Reefer Jazz era. And my expectations were already high, and he blew them away even then.
That's awesome.
It is a great show, Cannabob. Cannabob out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area. The Viper Hour, 1 hour of 20s and 30s reefer jazz, reefer blues. And I'm a musician. I've heard a lot of these songs, but mm-hmm. most of them I've heard the covers of them.
Right.
He's playing like the, you know, old school. This is like where the old school went to school.
Yeah.
You know? it's just fantastic. So I encourage you to check it out. The Viper Hour, every Monday at 8 o'clock, you'll get a new show. And then a replay at 11. Now, he was also telling me that he may be doing this twice a week. And if so, that means on the replays that you catch later on in the week, it'll be a whole new show as well. I don't know if Bob's got a website yet and is going to have, you know, these episodes downloadable or mm-hmm. what he's going to do. So for now, you can just hear them. With music, it's different, folks, because you got to make sure you got clearances for digital rights. And there's all this, you know, ASCAP and BMI stuff you got to worry about. But with the Reefer Jazz stuff, I think it's old enough that it's all public domain.
Yeah,
so it may not matter, but I'm going to leave that to Bob to figure out. So Viper Hour, 8 o'clock and midnight every Monday. So check that out. Then, following the 8 o'clock shows, you're going to get the replay of Normal Show Live at 9, and then the replay of those same three new shows, John Doe, Drug Truth Network, Viper Hour, right? Mm-hmm. So you can catch them. You can catch the new block starting at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, or you can catch the new block starting at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, you know, depending on what your times are. So there you go. You can catch that. New shows always at those times. Also, I've got a link. You know, if you go to this website here, and I'm kind of hovering over here, you can see it. You probably can't. But if you click on the Normal Network, that big heading there, it'll take you to a PDF file that you can print out that has a description of all the shows, where they're coming from, and what their websites are. Or if you go over to the side here where it says new 7 o'clock replay, you know, that those times over there, click on that and you'll get the grid, the programming grid, so you can know when your favorite shows are going
to
be on.
And when we're ready to really debut this and really pull it out, we do have normalnetwork.org already reserved for us.
That's right. And we're going to be putting out press releases to all our contacts as well. Mm-hmm. Tuesdays, of course, you know, 6 o'clock, John Doe Radio. 7 o'clock, the new show is Mile High Normal Show out of Denver, Colorado. We're so jealous of their studio.
Yeah,
they got an
really
awesome
nice
studio in Denver. So Mile High Normal Show Live at 7 p.m. Tuesdays. Cannabis Cure UK, 8 p.m. Tuesdays. Another great podcast I love listening to. Then on Wednesdays, you'll get one of our new affiliates, Green Central Station, Reverend Ray Lakers, Reverend Ray Green, you may know him as. We play a song that's got Reverend Ray Green and Johnny Reefer Seed and the High Rollers with Afro Man, right? Mm-hmm. He says, my pastor is Reverend Ray Green.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a podcast, Green Central Station out of Des Moines, Iowa. We'll be playing that Wednesdays at 7 p.m. And then at 8 p.m. on Wednesdays, the Cannabis States of America from the Florida Panhandle featuring Tony Z. I really enjoyed his podcast. He's kind of like me in that he likes to dig into the facts and the statistics of stuff. He was doing a rant on tobacco the other day in one of his podcasts, and he went to the government sites and looked up, you know, tobacco acres per, you know, how much tobacco is planted per state, how much per farmer. I mean, he was spitting out stats like I would, so that turned me on. I liked it. Thursdays, you will hear Hollywood Hemptress. That's, of course, Terry Joyce's show off the new Dissident Radio Network. Hollywood Hemptress out of Hollywood, California, with all the great fake celebrities that show up.
Yes,
fake Gary Busey and not Matthew McConaughey. You know, we may be getting lukewarm iced tea.
Yeah, that's right.
Lukewarm iced tea coming soon. Yeah. And then the Hot Box podcast, 8 p.m. out of Billings, Montana. I love that we go from Hollywood, California to Kalispell. Sorry, Kalispell. Hollywood, California to Kalispell, Montana. You couldn't get two different locations.
Seriously.
And that's on the Thursday lineup. And then on the Friday lineup, we get eventually Freedom is Green. As soon as Chris mm-hmm. Goldstein gets that put together, we'll have Freedom is Green at the Friday 7 o'clock hour, and then the Ganja John Show Friday 8 o'clock Pacific time. Now, as you get out of the daylight hours and you get over into the overnight, the midnight, this is a 24-hour thing, folks. So the rest of the night, you know, midnight to like noon, all the shows are rerun. So if you can't catch Viper Hour, for example, midnight on Monday, you can catch Viper Hour at 4 o'clock on Tuesdays, or 11 a.m. on Wednesdays, or 8 a.m. on Thursdays, or 4 a.m. on Fridays. So no matter what time of day you're listening to the Normal Network, you can eventually, in that block, hear all of the week's latest shows. Hope this helps everybody out. I hope you're getting a kick out of all of this stuff and bringing the voice of the marijuana nation into one place. That's always been my dream, and I'm glad you're along for the ride. For Cannabis Carrie and Ganja John and Calico the intern, I'm Radical Russ for the Normal Foundation. We'll talk to you in Toker Talk Radio, and for those of you on the podcast, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it all one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.